So you might have heard the term, body dysmorphia. It's a condition that's been recognised and been around for quite a while. But as I say, the latest disturbing trend is what they're calling Snapchat dysmorphia. So, yeah, a real thing. According to the medical profession, more and more people are presenting to cosmetic surgeons asking to look like their filtered images on social media apps like Snapchat. So in other words, they basically want a Snapchat makeover. And can you imagine anything more unrealistic or unattainable than that? So Amanda Cranston put a call into Michael Moulton, Dr. Michael Moulton, the president of the Cosmetic Physicians College of Australia. He's been practicing cosmetics for around about 23 years.
Snapchat dysmorphia is a term that's been allocated mainly from the US. They have these sorts of terms, and it's been adopted in Australia because we're seeing a similar phenomenon occurring and probably occurring more widely, perhaps among our young people in Australia. It is a process whereby a patient who's rather keen on taking selfies and has noticed that you can actually change the background colouring or these sorts of things, and apps have now been developed to change features and to smooth lines and wrinkles and to change the colours of eyes and all sorts of things, to modify an existing photograph of a selfie that the patient may have changed on their phone. And then going, you know what, I want to look like that picture. And taking that picture and coming along to someone like myself and say, I'm unhappy with this, I'm unhappy with my chin, I wish that my cheeks looked like this, and I want you to make me look like this. That is Snapchat dysmorphia. It's the filtered version. It's an unrealistic expectation, first of all, of what can be achieved. But more importantly, it's an unrealistic expectation of the person's self-image and the need to change their persona because of certain aspects about their personality or their appearance that they don't like, but they don't fully understand why it is that you can't change towards the image that they've created on their phone.
Now, body dysmorphia has been around for a long time, but this is now a newer version of it. As you were saying, it's a sort of a selfie Snapchat filtered version that people are now looking for. Is that, that's pretty much what Snapchat dysmorphia is?
That's right. I mean, once upon a time, we would be glancing through magazines and looking at airbrushed models that have been photographed and saying, well, I want to look like that. And of course, it's much like going to the hairdresser with a hair style and saying, I've got a photograph of this particular person and I want my hair to look like that. And it would be absolutely obvious to the onlooker, the average onlooker in the street, that that would not be possible at all. But that does not remove the concept in some cases of where patients still maintain this belief that they actually can achieve what they've produced artificially on their telephone. But the link between Snapchat dysmorphia and body dysmorphic disorder is that the appearance is not the issue. What is occurring is, as it does in BDD, is that a particular psychological disturbance is presenting itself as an imaginary blemish, and it may often be a very small blemish in body dysmorphic disorder, and that is the whole issue of what patients' problems are focused upon. And this is a contraindication for any sort of cosmetic treatment at all if they're suffering from body dysmorphic disorder. And indeed, if patients present with these unrealistic expectations of Snapchat dysmorphia, that is an indication that the psychological effect is hidden, but it is surfaces as disenchantment of a particular minor blemish.
The profession that you're in, is this something you pick up quite early on if there is sort of a mental disorder behind that?
Not always, because what can happen is that patients can come in at first with reasonable expectations and express those as a reasonable expectations. It's kind of like getting started. But then 2 weeks later, they come back and they say, I'm really happy with that, but can we do more? And so there's an escalation effect. at the end, it's almost at the end of that journey before it's absolutely apparent that there are some unusual thought processes going on.
And what sort of ages are we talking about here?
First of all, it is predominantly young women, but there is a proportion of young men.
And the
proportion, yes. The proportion of men attending medical practitioners, cosmetic physicians like ourselves, has been on the increase over the last 10 years. So we do see it in those people as well, but mainly women, because these are the patients who have a wide social network through Instagram and, you know, various media platforms, and use these media platforms to communicate and show what they've been doing and what they've achieved.
You would say that social media has definitely led to this new disorder?
Without a doubt. That is the absolute driving force of what's been happening. And there's some evidence that it's emanated from a process that when you take a selfie with a cell phone, that the camera is very close to certain parts of the anatomy, namely the nose, and we've probably all done this, where we've taken a selfie and we've gone, oh my God, look, my nose is too big in that. We'll take another one from a different angle. And that has been the initial draw card. They've derived this false body image from perspective of the camera.
You would think that if someone presented with this filtered image of themselves and said, I'd like to look like this, that they would be told that it is unrealistic and they're not going to be able to look like that. But are you finding then there are some doctors that will then say, well, actually, we can make you look like that? Are you finding that they're trying a lot of legitimate doctors and then just continue until somebody says yes?
That's absolutely correct. And it's down to the regulations that there is no defined specialty of cosmetic medicine or cosmetic surgery for that matter. And so we see a number of, let's say, doctors and registered nurses who, for one reason or another, will undertake a two-day course with a manufacturer of the products that they provide. So the candidate doctor or nurse may pay something like $5,000 and buy $5,000 worth of products. And if they do that, then they get a two-day show-me course, which they might see two or three or maybe four or five cases, which is hopelessly inadequate. And then they are led to believe that they can be let loose on the public. And they would not have had, unfortunately, adequate training in recognition within the framework of an elective, non-essential procedure that is not funded through Medicare, which the patient pays for privately. Now, I'm sure that a lot of the medical practitioners and nurses that embark on these two-day courses have a concept that they're going to be very wealthy and very busy, and it'll be a trouble-free and easy thing to gain more revenue from. But in fact, that is not the case, and they very, very quickly find themselves disillusioned. And the people that win are the people that provide the courses, because they charge $5,000 or something like that. They get 20 people on the course. Over a weekend, $100,000 between two trainers, $50,000 for 2 days' work. It's pretty good money.
But not great for the public.
No, the losers are the public and the people that are gullible enough to have undertaken the course in the first place, rather than seeking out a proper fellowship training, which would take roughly 18 months with an organisation such as the Cosmetic Medical Practitioners College in Australasia.
So how is this, the Cosmetic Physicians College of Australasia, going to deal with the Snapchat dysmorphia and the, I guess, the shoddy operators out there? Is there something in place to try and weed this out and get on top of it?
It's been a two-pronged approach. The first approach was, it's taken some tragedy in Australia. Unfortunately, these things can play out this way. The Cosmetic Physicians College of Australasia has been fundamentally involved with advising the health department and the Healthcare Complaints Commission. There are some complex issues. We see products coming in from overseas, illegal, illicit substances that purport to be the genuine product. We don't know what's in them. They come from China, they come from Korea in container loads. This is a major problem that we're up against. So the first prong of the two-pronged approach has been to discuss and assist government in understanding the problems and then helping them understand what could be done to limit the impact that that might have on patient safety. The second part of the program is what we're doing right here and now, speaking on radio, speaking to people, letting people know that when a patient sees anti-wrinkle injections, dermal fillers, being advertised by a particular institution or clinic or whatever, that the public is in that particular person, that member of the public, is entitled to believe that if that is occurring within those premises in that facility, if it were wrong, it would be stopped. But they're wrong. It is wrong, but it's not being stopped. So the public is not well advised. So the second prong of our two-pronged approach has been to educate the public through opportunities such as what you've provided today.
It's definitely a growing issue, especially with young people. So do you think the problem is with social media and people trying to project a certain image? You're saying that people are constantly filtering and changing their images. Should there be more education? Should it be parents, schools, media? What do you think needs to happen in regards to educating people about this?
The first thing, you're right, even at an early age, early learning, primary school and so forth. Recently, we had cause to make objection about a certain app that was available for children that enabled the child to operate an app, and they could go in and say, I could have a facelift, or what about if I had a tummy tuck? And, an image would sort of come up. It was outrageous, and the community at large and ourselves were successful in outlawing that and having that removed. So we certainly don't need that kind of influence. We certainly need people to feel good about themselves, but also people need to know we're all getting a little older, and the longevity and so forth of life, and people staying in the workforce. Once upon a time, when patients came to me, you may well have said it was to do with a human invented thing called vanity. In modern times, that is not the presenting concern that patients come to me or people like me. It is, I want to stay in the workforce longer. I'm rejoining the workforce longer. My superannuation didn't last quite as long. I need to work back into the workforce, and I need to be presentable, and I don't need to look 70 when I'm 65. Or when I'm 60, what is it that you can do that will be better but not different? A lot of people come to me, in fact, new patients come to me for the first time, will often say, you're not going to make me look like one of those freaks, are you? This is a real fear because they've seen these people, duck lips and swollen cheeks, that when they smile, their eyes close because they've got so much dermal filler in their face, it looks ridiculous. And they do not want to look, their fear is, and yet they still come. They still come because the drive to want to look better, but not different, is still there. And they are seek the person out that will be able to deliver that.
So what is the next step? Snapchat dysmorphia or Snapchat makeovers are a new thing that people are presenting to the medical profession with. What's the first step that we can do?
I think that what the public can do is they can be honest with people. And this comes down to peer groups. This is really, a lot of what we see is actually peer group pressure. And it should be okay to say quietly to an individual that might be going down the track quite obviously, and everybody's talking about it behind their back and saying, did you see Fiona's face on Snapchat? What has she done? Instead of talking among themselves, is to take the patient or the person aside and be honest about that and say, I'm really worried about you. I've looked at a photograph of you before and you were so beautiful and gorgeous, and now I'm really worried that, does it occur to you or do you think that you might have done too much? And maybe there is a phrase out there like, are you okay?
Yeah, are you okay indeed? Snapchat dysmorphia, a real thing. Dr. Michael Moulton, president of the Cosmetic Physicians College of Australia, speaking to Amanda Cransom.